No, I'm not even going to answer that because I think that's unfair and it puts pressure back on the board. And I've had enough people outside thinking I'm championing a cause for me to coach next
year.
Look, I've never been on my knees. I've never knocked on doors. I have no intention of doing either. I am contracted to the end of this year. I would expect to coach at the end of this year. I think that's all coaches' expectations. Whether that happen, all coaches expect that. It doesn't always happen.
Mick Malthouse, who was fascinating listening and interesting, really interesting to chat with last night on the Coach's Box. As I said, that interview, along with all our others, will be on the SEN website. It's been a huge couple of weeks for the Blues, and it's been a difficult one, no doubt, for their CEO, Stephen Trigg, who joins us with the boys in the box at the MCG. Welcome, Stephen.
Thanks, Hutto.
Mick, he really is fascinating just to talk footy with. We crossed a whole number of topics last night. Is he... Given he's got so much experience, is he difficult to manage? I know you've been in the game a long time, but it must be hard to tell Mick what to do, but that is your job to some degree.
I don't find him hard to manage at all. In fact, I find him to be one of the better people that I've worked with in footy. He is, of course, the most experienced coach in the competition and one of the most successful people in our game of all time. And I find him on the inside to be... on song with where we are and where we're going, and that's, you know, there's no gilding the lily with that. He's right on song. So no, I don't find him hard to manage at all.
He talked last night about rebuilding, and he said rebuilding is for November. I mean, and for Stephen Silvani to worry about that, is that consistent with what your line of thinking is as well?
Well, it's consistent with Mick, and everyone is on the same page at Carlton about all of this, and we tried to get the message across over the summer, but maybe people weren't listening, and that is that we have an enormous amount of work to do to, you can call it what you like, rebuild, re-engineer, reshape our list so that we're a dominant football club, not a team that from time to time can pinch one, but as Carlton people would want for Carlton to be dominant, and there's no magic wand with that. It's going to take some time. It's going to take a lot of clearly articulated strategy, and we'll share that with our supporters along the way. But we tried to get that message out across the summer, and I'm not sure that it landed well enough.
I don't think you delivered it that well.
Well, maybe we stand accused of that, but I think if you look back over some of the iterations of what, Robbo, we tried to get across over the summer, it was a building exercise. It was a...
Yeah, but you're also trying to attract members and sponsors, so you're not... I mean, the message... has drastically changed. I mean, it's been absolutely hammered home in the last 3 days.
We've certainly put a finer point on it. That's correct.
Where Carlton is. And I think most people would agree with that.
Yeah.
The coach. Have you ever been in a situation in your time as CEO and let a coach run to the end of his contract before reappointing him?
It's interesting, yes. But
Who was that?
Well, we had Blighty when I was... there, and he made the call. Malcolm made the call. Neil Craig made the call.
For one year, just to let it run through. Did they survive the next year? Did Neil Craig get reappointed?
No. I'm saying we allowed as a board and me as a CEO to let his contract run, and he made the call himself in July.
To pull the pin?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to say now whether you want Mick Malthouse to coach next year?
I think it's all Carlton people... Every football person would understand that there's still nearly 5 months of the season to go.
I disagree with that. I disagree. I think this is very rare.
Well, you're entitled to disagree with it, but there's 5 months of the season to run. And I've been in football clubs where we've made early decisions, contrary to your point that you're trying to nail me on here that says...
I'm not trying to nail, I'm just trying to find
the truth.
Well,
you are, because you're asking me whether I've let someone run through to the end of their contract.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find the facts.
Well, what I'm saying to you is that I've also gone the other way, where we've made early calls and they haven't been the right calls in the end.
You know, what more do you need to know about Mick Malthouse, the coach?
Well, we know that he can coach.
We know that he can coach. So why, what are you waiting to judge or see?
So we want to see that Mick is able with us to grow the club, to be on message, that we can develop our team, to make sure there's a connection there. It's just good business practice, good club practice, to let it run for a little bit longer. See, we've got 5 months to go.
Yeah, right? I know that good football club practices. I mean, seriously, that is CEO talk. We are talking about a guy who has shown three times that he can build a club. Three times. A struggling club with no money, a club with bountiful money and the biggest club in the competition, Mick Malthouse has shown that he can develop and build them really quick. I just can't believe that Carlton are allowing him to go to the end of the season because it's good business practice. There is good football practice as well. And I think if you were going to appoint Mick Malthouse, I think he probably comes under the good football practice headline.
Reasonable, very, very reasonable points. Somewhat, rather than CEO talk, somewhat journalistic talk in terms of the provocation that's in it. Because we didn't say the end of the season. We said we'll let the first half of the season go before we make a final call as a board. And I don't think that's unreasonable.
Would you, if you make a call either way, round, say it's round 16, I don't know, make 16, 17, 18, 19, and the decision is no, we're not going with you, Mick. Would the club tell Mick and have a dignified end, or would you let him go out till the end of the season?
We'll cross that bridge.
It's a big bridge to cross, isn't it?
Of course. Look, it's a really challenging... We spent a lot of time over the summer trying to reset the foundations to be a successful, dominant club off the field.
Last one.
New president, new CEO, new head of commercial, new chief financial officer, importantly and critically, a new setup, a new head of recruiting, a new head of our list. To try and establish a foundation for the future. The most important next step, and if not the most important step from the outset, is the senior coaching one. We have to get it right. There's no margin for error at Carlton at the moment. Right. Allow us a bit of time to make sure that we make the right call.
I believe that Mick believes that he won't be reappointed.
Well, I don't know why you would read that, because I'm in communication with him every day.
Because
he's very
comfortable. Mick's told people, and those people have told me.
Okay.
Okay. So I can't say much more, but I just can't... Anyway, you know my thoughts on it. Everyone knows what Mick can do as a coach. I find it odd that you're letting him go out to the end of the season if he's not going to be reappointed. But anyway, King and Dermy.
Have you misread where the Blues were going to be?
Probably slightly underestimated the scale of the challenge.
Is that a yes?
Dermy?
The football department report to you, and then you to the board. The football department, did they misread the Blues list?
I think there's always been a...
Albeit we're only two games
in. That's exactly right. But I think there's always a sense of optimism, and that's fair. You know, there's a little bit of critique of Carlton over the summer that there's slightly mixed messages, but I actually don't think there have been. I think Mick was, respectfully, somewhat misrepresented when he said, you know, tongue-in-cheek, can't see us losing a game because I love my players. Well, you know,
if you're being serious, that's all just
of course
theatre and mucking.
It is
fun.
Dermot.
That is mucking.
We know that, but unfortunately, some took it as gospel, and said we're at mixed messages. So look, I think we've all been on message that is we've got an enormous amount of work to do to build the depth in our list. You know, we've got some.
But I got the feeling, Tricky, that Carlton believed they would, to their best endeavours, and with a good injury list, finish somewhere even as high as fifth this year. I got the feeling they thought 5 to 10, somewhere in there, depending on the sway of injuries, that's what they might have hoped for, given a good season.
Well, we didn't articulate that internally.
No, I know you didn't.
No, we didn't.
But I just, knowing footy clubs and having been involved at board level, Carlton's...
Was that more last year?
Sorry, Robert. Dermy, my view would be this. The club won 7.5 games last year. We had either taken out or took out nearly 1,000 games of experience, and we plugged back in roughly 150. For all the projection of optimism and excitement and build, as we tried to get the message across, you simply cannot expect to be a top four team, and it's going to really stretch you to be in a top eight when you take out 1,000 games, you put in 150. That's just a sheer reality. My view has been, on the inside, is if we can get some continuous improvement into the way our list develops, and we are now finally rating our list subjectively and objectively. If we can get some growth into that, if we can improve our ladder position, if we can improve a bunch of metrics internally, then I think that we will have had a successful year.
Eight wins would have been an improvement. You had 7.5 last year. I'm being pedantic here.
You also know that, and if you hang your shingle on that, injuries and all sorts of things can cloud your judgment.
You've learned that over the years, Stephen. Yeah. Why... Welcome to Bruce Matheson once again yesterday. I mean, this club was on its knees in 2003. Mm. This club was on its knees badly in 2007. Stephen Kernaghan took over the presidency, accepted a presidency. Greg Swan was recruited from Collingwood to Carlton. They reduced their debt by $4 million. Mm. They make a profit every year since. And Bruce Matheson comes out yesterday after the Mark Mugudisha interview in the Herald Sun and says, and smashes Kernaghan and Greg Swan. I mean, why does Carlton allow people like Bruce Matheson to make these grand statements about people who have worked damn hard to get this club right? Well,
Robbo, I don't give Bruce Matheson a red light or a green light. I mean, if somebody wants to go to him to talk to him and he chooses to speak, look.
Did you like what he said?
I'll tell you what I've done. I've drawn a line in the sand because I could sit here and talk ad nauseum about where the club's been and what it's done. It's of no benefit to me at the moment.
It only happened yesterday, Steve.
Of no benefit to Carlton supporters for me to trawl over past recruiting, past administration. I've done this job for a long time, right? I have the greatest respect for every administrator who can last the distance. It's hard work.
Yeah, no doubt.
A really competitive environment. There's no way I'm making judgment about those guys in the past. I've drawn a line in the sand with our board, with our club, that goes, we just need to understand where we are, and hence some of the positioning we put out this week, to be really unambiguous about where we're at. And that will upset some people, but let's call it as it is. People are looking for some honesty for us. We've got stuff. Let's get it out there. Let's say it as it is, and let's ask Carlton people to go with us on the journey as we build. Take some joy out of Smith playing, about Jacks, about Jones, about Kieran Byrne playing his first game today, the toughest kid I think I've seen in a pre-season. There's a lot of things that we can get Carlton people excited about, but understand where we are. However we got there, whoever's been involved, this is where we are today and where we need to go.
Can I ask you about how you think Carlton fans feel about their footy club?
I don't, there's a lot of emotion out there, Hutto. It's difficult to define in a sentence. I tell you what I want them to feel is I want them to be proud of their club. I want them to be coming to the ground today, as distinct from perhaps they are today, wondering what they're going to get. I want them to come to the ground feeling like they're supporting a dominant team. And for us to do that, it's just going to take a little bit of time to get ourselves organised.
Dominant team or club?
Both. We've got one of the best people I could possibly imagine heading up our list and our recruiting. Just give us a bit of time to get that part right. I want people to come expecting a dominant Carlton and a dominant club.
Well, you have to do a review before you make a decision on Mick, given the fact that you've only just arrived at this position, that, as Derm said, you probably got it wrong, where you're at in the footy landscape. Those same people that had that false perception of where you're at are going to make a decision on Mick. Do you have to have a review before you arrive at a yes or a no?
I think, Kingy, that implies some sort of turn the place upside down forensic review, but we're always reviewing, mate. I mean, we're always making an assessment. I think to come back to the Mick one, and Robbo makes a fair point about his CV. Look, it's unsurpassed, right? But Mick is 61, and it's a long season with 5 months to go. One of the questions for Mick is in the review, of whatever scale of review we do, is Mick needs to answer the question, has he got the energy? Does he still have the energy to do it? It's a really incredibly demanding business.
You've heard him in the last couple of days. He on SEN last night. Absolutely, he was ferocious.
Sure.
And then in the Herald Sun today, his manager, Peter, said, well, gets a phone call from Mick Warner. And generally it's, well, we're not talking about this. Suddenly Peter Sidwell, the manager's going, mix this, mix that, mix the man. Mick said last night, I never get on my knees. I never knock on doors.
Yep.
To me, it sounds like Mick is, and his manager, is knocking on doors saying, hey, what's going on? I think Mick Malthouse, I'm not going to disrespect him by calling him by his surname only. I think Mick Malthouse is very worried about his position at Carlton. I feel that he thinks he's going to get sacked, and this might be a last hurrah right now, and it comes to this big game today, Essendon and Carlton. And if Mick can get Carlton up today, suddenly that propels him again, you know. Just a little thing. You know, we're rebuilding. I spoke to the Gouda Show. We're changing the culture. And then Matheson comes out a day after. We're changing the culture. And what we're going to do is we're going to rebuild. And then Mick says, I'll play the team that is to compete. Carlton people said to me, friends and people on Twitter and everyone, saying, these are mixed messages.
They're not mixed messages.
I don't think they are.
Let's just be really clear about this. The senior coach of any team is entitled, is compelled to make sure he gets the best out of the team and strives to win. We're talking about having Carlton people proud of their club. What they want is a 22 players who go out there today who just give everything for the jumper. Whatever phase you're in, whatever part of your cycle you're in, the best for their jumper. And that's what Mick's articulating. He knows the bigger picture with list management. He's sat in there all over the summer. He's on song with that. He said it last night on SEN. He is that. But don't disallow his capacity to get out there and want to win a game of footy. That's what they live for. That's not incongruent. That's not Mick's message.
Stephen,
thanks.
Been fascinating. It's been pretty feisty, but
it's been just good footy, solid talk.
Let him go, will you, Romo, please?
Good interview. I thought he was going to. He wants to play. Tricky wants to play. That's all right.
What I want to do is come to the footy dressed like you. I don't need the suit and tie.
He's susceptible to an uppercut, Stephen, if you really want to lay one on him.
Thanks, you don't really want to dress like Robbo, do you?
No one's ever said that.
Thanks, Otto.
Thanks,
Steve.
Stephen Trigg, CEO of the Blues. Good stuff. It's 19 past 12. We'll take a break. Chat about all the other issues on and off the field. There's plenty at the moment. We'll do that next in the crunch.